The Psychedologist.
Hello, greetings, consciousness positive listeners. This is the Psychedologist speaking, and I'm here to introduce a great conversation between myself and John Robertson of Maps of the Mind. John is a psychedelic explorer, activist, and guide. His work focuses on access, empowerment, and community. And his current mission is to spread the wondrous gifts of psychedelics by helping people learn how to use them effectively. You can check out his blog at mapsofthemind.com and his upcoming course, mapsofthemind.com/r-evolution. In this episode, John and I discuss important considerations for approaching work with psychedelics, such as managing expectations, setting intentions, being open and allowing of experience, trusting the value of what comes up, even if it's not what we expected, and trusting the process, working with disappointment, sliding back into old patterns post-journey, and coming back to ourselves in honoring and accepting where we are, and recognizing the non-linearity of psychedelic healing and transformation. We touch on the larger structures that humans live in these times, and how we can make a difference by working on ourselves and also looking at the collective structures we're a part of. And of course, being embedded in this world in these times can make it difficult to integrate and be fully integrated in ourselves. John shares an analogy about metamorphosis and how it can be painful, but it's also part of a larger process of becoming more beautiful and full. And this pertains to our individual journeys, as well as maybe the journey of humanity at this moment. We talk about becoming empowered and standing up for what we believe in. The conversation shifts to becoming more whole again through integration in ourselves and in the world around us. John speaks to the value of integrity, developing our character, being responsible and honest, especially for those of us who hold space for others. Psychedelics can help us connect to the deepest sense of all, seeing hard truths, welcoming them, and integrating them. At the end, you'll hear John talking about his upcoming course, Revolution, or R-Evolution. So it's both, and it's a deep dive for psychedelic explorers who want to develop, expand, and deepen their practice and make the most of their experiences.
Wow. Welcome, John, to The Psychedologist.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here speaking with you.
Yeah, I look forward to learning more about you, starting with what was your relationship to consciousness as a child?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I saw this question. Yeah, it's interesting because, to be completely honest, I didn't have much of a relationship with consciousness. I mean, I did, but not nothing that's really significant. I didn't consider it very much when I was very young, to be honest. My interest in consciousness really only came about after taking psychedelics. So that's when it really became passionately interested in. But I think that the seeds for that to come about from my psychedelic experience were from being very interested in the mind as a child and the power of the mind, and also in exploration and adventure. And I grew up with a big map of the world on one wall of the house where I was living, and my dad had traveled a lot, so that really gave me a curiosity about travel and discovery. And I think that led me also to psychedelics, and as a youngster, also I was very interested in Bruce Lee. My mother's from Hong Kong. So yeah, there's a connection there. And Bruce Lee was also, he was a big hero of mine. I loved watching his films, but he was also more than just a kung fu guy. He studied Alan Watts, and he was very much a philosopher. And he spoke a lot about the mind. So I think from reading some of his books and poetry and quotes, that also kind of seeded me an interest in the mind and belief. And yeah, I think that sowed the seeds for me to have experiences with psychedelics that brought about greater questions about consciousness.
Yeah. So you've been sort of an explorer of inner and outer worlds, it sounds like. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
Did your travels inform the work that you do now or the person that you are now?
I think so, yes. I think there's... I think the explorer's mindset or the approach to travel, which can, that can be very helpful in informing an approach to psychedelic exploration, you know, being open, for example, being open to what is there. When you're a traveler and you go into a new land, it's, you'll have a more enriching, and you'll learn more from your experiences if you're open to what's there and you're able to let go of expectations. So I think that's absolutely something that informs what I do now with working with psychedelics and working with people, and also having a healthy curiosity, you know, to be looking at things and to be not making value judgments, but to be asking questions and dig deeper into to what is there. So yeah, these are absolutely aspects I think that I learned while traveling and going into different places, and they're very relevant to psychedelic exploration.
So tell me a little bit about the work that you do with people now. Are you supporting people who for their journeys, or kind of like on the front end and the back end, and they do the journeys on their own?
Sure, yeah. I facilitate sometimes with people one-to-one privately. I was working on group retreat before Corona came along, and now this is not possible. So I have been working with people one-to-one, sometimes holding space for them, and also helping people with a little bit of coaching and consultation before and after their experiences. So yeah, and I've kind of come across or come over again similar things and similar themes that come up again and again with working with people individually. And that's now why I'm creating this course that I'm now working on, going to be launching soon, to really to be able to put these kind of principles and fundamentals into a format which people can then access more easily and more affordably, really, and in a more flexible format that they can kind of do. So yeah, that's what I'm working on now and have been for the last couple of years.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm very curious to hear about the trends and the sort of the pro tips that span lots of different journeyers. I know with the people I support, sometimes it's hard to discern intention from expectation. Sometimes intentions can be like demands or, you know, and I'm like, I'm guilty of that as well. So that's how I know. But yeah, I've noticed that, and noticed like taking away their own power by assigning so much power to the medicine and the experience, and like Just the people, I try to encourage people to be really empowered and active in their healing process and to own it, that like the growth that they're having is not because of ayahuasca, it's because of them. And ayahuasca was a tool, for example. So, yeah. What are some of the things you've noticed? What do you think about that?
Yeah. To unlock that from within themselves. Yeah, absolutely. That's really interesting. Yeah. You say that. And sorry, could you say again, Leah? Could you?
Yeah. I was wondering, have you noticed, would you share some of the things that you've noticed that people tend to benefit from, you know, like some of the tips and tricks of getting the most out of their journeys or I offered a couple examples I've seen of like common guides
sure.
that I give to people. Like, yeah. what do you tend to help people with?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's actually really interesting. You talked about expectations, which can sometimes be like demands, as you put it. I think managing expectations is actually an important part of approaching work with psychedelics. Because also, you know, there's so much hype around psychedelics now. There's so much, you know, like that they can fix everything. And there's hardly a condition which they haven't been claimed to be able to work wonders on. And actually managing expectations is a big part of that. And also coming back to being open, setting intentions and being, and then being open and allowing, which also kind of relates to mindfulness, I think, a mindfulness practice, a meditation practice, because a lot of that is also about being open and allowing of experience. And for me, that's fundamental to psychedelic journeying, to being open to what arises. And actually, I heard on one of your recent podcasts, or maybe not so recent, but you said no expectations, just. And I think that's a really perfect way of putting it too. I think it can be useful to have a kind of an approach or an intention, but then as soon as the session starts, to really kind of let go of it and to allow what arises to arise. And also that relates also to another aspect of mindset, I think, which is trust. And that's about trusting that what comes up is what is supposed to come up. And if we get too fixated on certain expectations or certain outcomes from a session, then we might miss something that's really important to us. And we might miss something that's really what we need to hear or what we need to see or what we need to experience in that moment. So, yeah, like letting go of expectations and being open and allowing and trusting. And also on trusting that beyond the sessions themselves, but also trusting in our process in the larger scheme of things and trusting that we are where we are meant to be. And I think as a longer term practitioner for people who are working with psychedelics over the longer term, that sense of trust is really important. And there can be, I've experienced myself and I've spoken with others, there can be a sense of disappointment, perhaps, when maybe we've had a really powerful experience and we've really come into alignment and into connection. And then it could be maybe some weeks or some months later, and it feels like we've kind of fallen back, or we've kind of slipped back into old ways, or we've kind of come back into old habits and that can lead to feelings of disappointment, and that can that's again a moment to really come back to ourselves and to honor where we are at, and to accept where we're at, and to accept we are human and we will fall back into older patterns. And that's just part of the path, you know, that's part of this longer term process. It's not, there's not this linear progression where we just walk up perfectly step by step on this longer term path of integration. There are going to be moments where we fall and we're going to make mistakes, you know. And that comes also back into self-care, which I think is a huge aspect of integration, and being kind with ourselves and allowing ourselves to make mistakes and being able to be loving with ourselves about them, and to be able to just pick ourselves up, or if we need support, to seek that support when we need it, and to keep going and to keep moving forward.
I really, I resonate with what you're saying so much. And it's even a reminder to me right now, as I've really been blaming myself for some ways that I've been backsliding. And gosh, it just does not help me get back on the bandwagon when I'm beating up on myself like that for not sticking to kind of the idealistic vision I had of what I'd be doing in my life at this moment in time. It's helpful to remember that I am on my path and I can be here with what's here now. And also I feel it's part of that is recognizing that there are a lot of forces in my environment that don't support and nurture me to be integrated and to kind of do what I think I should be doing now. There's kind of a current to go against. The healing process is long, and yeah, as the name implies, it's a process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's fairly common for, I myself have experienced it a lot, and it's definitely a lesson that I'm still learning again and again, and with many people I speak to acknowledge where we're at. And it's also very interesting what you say about forces in your environment, because it's also it's difficult also in the larger structures that we live in, the wider societal forces. It's difficult to be an integrated whole person in the kind of madness of the world we live in, no?
Yeah, no, absolutely. and it's like, maybe psychedelics offer some potential for, you know, maybe it's like embracing the madness and recognizing it, and becoming more aligned with our true nature, if there even is one. I don't know, but I don't think that how humans are right now is our true nature. I think it's it's like some big shadow coming up, and the interplay of all the technologies and the systems that we're embedded in, that I think we've outgrown. Yeah, patriarchy, capitalism, things like that. But it's like, it's not like we can throw them away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's fast changing times. I feel like we're in a really big shift. And I think, psychedelics have a large role to play for us as a species at this time. So, yeah. But I heard a really interesting kind of analogy about what we're going through as a species at this moment. I don't know if you've heard, as we're kind of like the caterpillar now. And when the caterpillar goes through this process of transformation before it becomes the butterfly, it has no conception of the butterfly before. It just has to go through this weird transforming thing, and it cannot see what's on the other side. And part of that growth and metamorphosis is actually very painful, but it's actually part of a larger process of becoming something more beautiful. And I have no idea if that's actually what's happening with us. but I like it. I like the perspective. And it gives me hope. And it also reminds me that, yeah, I don't actually know where we're going. And we may be going to something more beautiful. But that said, based on what we do know and where we are, then saying that, I don't want to say like, then let's just go along with what's going. If you know what I mean, let's just go, because also at the same time, based on what we do know and where we are going, it doesn't look good. So I think this also relates to what we were talking about before, about empowerment and kind of becoming empowered and standing up for what we believe in, because a lot of the narratives and a lot of what's going on in the world now are not in alignment with what I would say at least most people I know believe in really truly deep down. And I believe psychedelics can help us to claim back some of our power and to enact change and to make things happen and to collaborate and to come together and to create and to do things which are in alignment with our beliefs and our future for what we believe is possible.
Yeah. I relate to that. I agree with you on that. And I guess it's what it's bringing up for me is just this kind of like disconnect of, like, I know I'm part of the whole, and I know the whole is part of me, and we have this bi-directional relationship of influencing each other. But then how, it's kind of like, it's like a hero's journey in a way, where it's like a solo journey, but we are so interconnected with each other. It's just bringing up that dichotomy for me of like, yeah, non-duality and duality, like getting empowered to make a difference, and also seeing, right, like we can make a difference in the collective, and then sometimes just making a difference in my own life has those waves that go into the whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when we heal ourselves, we heal a part of the larger whole. So yeah, it's all related.
Has that been your journey?
Do you mean healing myself as a part of the larger whole?
Yeah, like has your process with psychedelics been? Do you feel like you're on a path of, like, let me ask it a different way. How does your relationship to yourself come into play in your work? That's a really deep one. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Can you ask it the other way?
yeah, sure. Can you talk to me about your personal relationship to, like, being one person in this whole big world? Mm-hmm. You know, not one of us can change the things that are, but together we can change them, but we're also sort of alone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, it's also kind of one of those psychedelic mindsets where it's like both at the same time or something. But yeah, I mean, how I relate to myself is, yeah, absolutely, a part of my process with psychedelics. And that's, I mean, this term, I almost don't want to use it, but I will, this term integration. But that is really, yeah, for me, about becoming more whole. And also, I mean, this word healing also and integration, they mean kind of becoming more whole and being a person of integrity. Mm-hmm. And that has ripples to those. I think also working with people in the psychedelic space and in the field, that kind of thing is especially more important. I felt myself over the last 2 years that if I'm going to be engaging more in this field, then I really need to develop my character more, and I need to become a more responsible person, and I need to become a person of greater integrity, because what can the openings and what can be brought about through psychedelics can be so powerful, and people with those openings, they can sense it, and that really has an effect on other people's processes as well when you're engaging with them to a deeper degree. I think really a large part of it is also being honest, and that's a big part also of my personal process, because you also mentioned about how I relate to myself. And I think sometimes the some of the most harmful lies can be the ones that we tell ourselves. Right? And I think being totally honest with ourselves, being honest with myself is a big part of my journey with psychedelics. And I find them to be very helpful with that, because also sometimes I don't know the lies I'm telling myself. They're subconscious, or they're unconscious. They're below the surface, and I'm not even really aware of them. And psychedelics, they can bring this stuff up to the surface, and then I see like, oh, okay, you're not acting with integrity here, you know, or like, this is not in alignment. You've gotten sucked up, or you've gotten pulled along into something else. And they really bring me back and pull me to my center and pull me to my place and show me things that otherwise I wouldn't have seen. So they really help to connect to my deepest sense of self, and to be really honest with myself. And sometimes those truths are hard, but it's for the best, really. It's as a friend said to me recently, rather an uncomfortable truth than a comfortable lie. So yeah, that absolutely, the psychedelics and how I work with them, both with myself and with other people, is informed by my relationship with myself.
Yeah, no, I love what you're saying. I think that another merit of psychedelic work for me has been not just seeing these hard truths, but being able to welcome them and expand my capacity to integrate that, like to stay in connection with a sense of love for myself and integrity with myself, and like, rather than pushing it away, you know, sometimes like the only response to a hard truth is to shut it down or invalidate it and just spiral more. So.
No, I don't want to see that. No, that's too much.
Yeah, it hurts.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, you're also asking about kind of like tips for psychedelic explorers, and Yeah, as you were saying, like welcoming, that's a huge thing. Like, again, relates back to openness, like welcoming what's there with love and like loving everything that arises and welcoming it and accepting it and not resisting what's there, you know, allowing it. And that also, yeah, that also for me really ties into, I mean, I learned a lot of these principles through mindfulness, like allowing and opening and accepting. And yeah, they sometimes sound like cliches, but there's totally true. It's like it's really the way to navigate psychedelic journeys. And yeah, for me, that's also something like I think a good base and a good foundation in a mindfulness practice or a meditation practice, I think, is a really solid fundamental. And I recommend it to anyone really wishing to explore psychedelics because I think it sets a solid foundation for exploring expansive states of consciousness.
Yeah, that's a really important consideration to bring. And it sounds like this is a really awesome course that you have on offer just from the great insights you've dropped today. Do you want to tell us more about the course?
Sure, yeah.
I'd love to. Thanks. Yeah, so the course is it's for people who are on the psychedelic path,
People who are already
engaging with psychedelics. It's not for people who are maybe thinking about taking them or they're not sure, or people who are planning their first experience. It's for people who are kind of already exploring psychedelics and maybe want to have a more intentional approach or are looking to develop a healthier relationship with psychedelics and relationship because it's also a kind of it's a two-way process, and the more we give to psychedelics or the more we have a healthier relationship with them, the more we also gain back in return. So yeah, so the course is going to be delivered through audio lessons, so people can listen at their own leisure. And it's really split up into four key segments, which are the first one is path preparation. So this is the fundamentals of working with psychedelics. As I mentioned to you, mindfulness is in there. Having some kind of foundation of an awareness practice, support systems, resources, inner resources, and mindset, as we talked about. So these are for me the kind of fundamentals of working with psychedelics. Then there's going to be a section on session preparation. So this is preparing for a specific session, and that includes clearing practices, centering, setting space, creating personalized routines and rituals. And these are all things that how to say potentiate a psychedelic experience. And this can also mean that one is able to kind of go deeper with less. So it also really means that maybe you don't have to take such high doses if you approach psychedelics in a very focused way, then you're able to go further with less. So yeah, there's a session on session preparation, then there's a section on session integration, and that's also about processing specific experiences, and that includes remembering and processing, and also identifying key themes and looking forward and like, what are you going to do with the information, or what are you going to do with what has come up? And then there's a section on path integration. And that is also about integrating on the path of psychedelics. And that will include, like we talked about, managing expectations, also speaking with other people and kind of coming out of the closet, because I think being, if you're keeping a part of, then that naturally is difficult to be a fully integrated person, because as we're talking about, it relates back to honesty. And I'm not saying that everyone needs to come out and tell everyone about their use with psychedelics, because there can be other ramifications for that due to the legal status and social stigma, but exploring that basically. And yeah, and other things also, like we talked about the relationship with psychedelics and self-care. So yeah, that's pretty much an overview of the course. Yeah, the it's basically split into that, those four main sections, path preparation, session preparation, session integration, and then path integration.
I love that. I love that kind of integration at every step. And so this is like a live group that meets in a cohort sort of?
Yeah. Well, there's two aspects. There's a kind of a sync and an asynchronous version. So I really wanted to make the group aspect a part of the course, because that's what people, I sent out a form to people to see what people were looking for from a course and what would make it a meaningful experience for them. And the social aspect came up a lot. So again, I think that's people would like to connect with others and to share an experience with others and to be able to share their interest in psychedelics. So there will be six live calls we're going to do through November. And those will be, those are not really the core content. The core content itself will be delivered in audio lessons and associated exercises, which will be a mix of journaling and meditation and awareness or out in the world exercises, a couple of creative ones in there too. But those, there will be the calls which will offer people a chance to connect, and we'll do some, there'll be a space for sharing, there'll be a few breakout rooms that'll be related to the course content, and that will also help to deepen understanding of the material. And yeah, and there'll also be an option for Q&A. Yeah, but the social aspect, yeah, is definitely something I wanted to include. And yeah, we'll also be making a private Signal group so that people can connect on their outside of the calls and maybe ask questions and connect with each other. And yeah, I really want to create this kind of group experience aspect and a chance to connect with others on the path.
Wonderful. So wonderful. And I'll include a link in the show notes, but would you also say where people can find out more?
Yeah, absolutely. It's mapsofthemind.com/r-evolution. So the course is called Revolution, but I've put this, there's a kind of a dash in between the R. It's a little bit of a play on the word evolution, because yeah, this ties back into kind of how I see psychedelics as being a catalyst in our evolution of, as a species, and evolution of awareness, really. So yeah, they can find it there. If they go to mapsofthemind.com, should be able to find it easily there.
Great. Yeah, and it is a revolution in consciousness too. So I love that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
And so will you take us out with your favorite consciousness hack of late?
Yeah, absolutely. I really love this question, by the way. there's many. but yeah, the question is one. My favorite one, actually, I guess, is kind of like it's like the environmental design hack. So like putting little reminders around the space, I really like doing that, and like making them so that it could be on like little index cards. Sometimes I draw little things, or it might be like a mantra or an affirmation that I want to have for that month. I'm putting them around the space, or like changing the password on my computer. That's also that. So every time I go in, I have to kind of type it out, and it kind of brings that back to mind, or maybe like a background on the screen, which will be related to a theme. So it could be anything. It could be about developing trust, for example. It could be something that says like, I fully trust. Or it could be something more detailed, like how can I bring loving kindness to those around me in the world as I move through the day. That's the current index card I have by my door. So I get a little reminder of that each time I walk out the door into the day. So I think like tailoring your environment, I think is but one thing I will say also, I think it's important actually to update it, because it's like, you know, when you have like a poster up for ages and then after a while you kind of don't see it anymore because you get used to it.
Oh yeah.
So I found that the same to be with these things. It's also like that. So I try to update them monthly. So I have a kind of like a end of month protocol, and that also includes like changing my password on the computer, updating it to something else that I want to bring to mind a lot, updating the cards I'll have around my room. So that's my favorite, currently my favorite consciousness hack.
I love that so much. Thank you for all these great nuggets and the inspiration, and I look forward to checking out your course.
Cool. Yes. Well, thank you very much for having me on. It's been a real pleasure speaking to you. And I'm really looking forward also to hearing your thoughts on the course.
The Psychedologist is Consciousness Positive Radio. Find us everywhere podcasts are hosted. For more information, visit us on Facebook or online at thepsychedologist.com.